Dr. Blaine, what happens to make good doctor-patient relationships go sour?
A great many things can happen. They could happen in the doctor, they could happen in the patient. They might happen in the nature of the disorder, in that it is a very uncomfortable thing anyway, and it's hard for a person to keep on working at it, particularly if he doesn't get encouragement and doesn't improve immediately, and his anxieties aren't taken care of, and if he expects too much of the doctor. Sometimes the patients do expect too much. They're led to expect too much by something, perhaps the newspapers or friends or other people who said, well, now this man is really going to take care of you and he's going to really solve your problems. The doctor himself may be victim of tiredness or other things, but in general, it may all be that something in the patient begins to work on him. The problem of the alcoholic and the problem of certain other types sometimes bring out something in ourselves. And then the automatic response toward the patient is different.
Dr. Farnsworth?
One of our great handicaps in improving the understanding of physician-patient relationships is that the whole subject is downgraded both in medical schools as well as in subsequent professional life. You just try to get a group of third-year students interested in emotions and disease or in relations between the physician and patient, they are so concerned about the biochemistry that is involved, the pathology that is involved, that they're very intolerant of this. I know, because I've suffered from it. I'm trying to give lectures on this subject. They will have nothing to do with it. Whereas 10 or 15 years later, when they are up against some of these same problems, then they are willing to listen.
Let's talk about the socially offensive patient, particularly the patient who is an alcoholic or homosexual. What if the doctor finds in establishment of his relationship with the patient that the patient does have these socially unacceptable characteristics? How can he solve this problem? Dr. Rome?
First, under ordinary circumstances, with the best and most conducive of therapeutic environments, the remedy of these situations is enormously complex and difficult. If in addition, as a consequence of the doctor's feeling about what it is that the patient has or has not in the way of moral values or ethical values or behavioral conduct that accords with the doctor's own value system, this is added as an addition, it seems to me that he's in a hopelessly impossible anti-therapeutic environment, and under these circumstances, I think that he ought to absent himself from it. The doctor ought to refer the patient to someone else.
Dr. Blaine?
Well, I was just going to say, Dr. Rome, that assuming the patient comes to the doctor for any type of a medical or surgical or other type of advice in the general office, I think that he could hold on to that patient, provided he makes it clear to the patient that this particular part of his problem, which emerges along with the other, is something that someone else better handle who is more competent in it. But I get the impression he does not have to send the patient away from his ordinary medical and surgical activities.
Well, I'm not so sure that I can go along with this kind of a divorcement, that I like you, but it's your face that I disapprove of. It seems to me that one's dealing with an entire body of situations, and as a consequence, I don't see how you can dissect one aspect of it from the total care. It seems to me that this then defeats what we're talking about when we talk about the comprehensive quality of medical care that includes the individual, not only the individual who happens to have psychosis barbi, but also homosexuality and also alcoholism that I happen to find personally repugnant.
Dr. Farnsworth?
I think the person who becomes upset because his patient is found to be alcoholic or homosexual would be very much like the internist who would throw the patient with a lung abscess out of his office because his breath was foul. It's the doctor's problem if he can't take care of symptoms that are socially unacceptable, and he ought to look at himself. He doesn't have to approve a symptom in order to approve of the patient and his attempt to deal with the symptom.
Dr. Blaine, do you think that there are some cases in which the doctor and the patient might never be able to establish a good doctor-patient relationship if both of the individuals are so-called mentally healthy and normal?
Well, I think that that's a relative matter about all of us being mentally healthy and normal, but I think there is room for some serious problems to occur between a doctor and his patient, which perhaps could be better handled sometimes by another doctor. There are times when the doctor has mannerisms, which are perfectly all right in themselves, but happen to conflict with the former experiences of the patient, or something of that nature. Maybe he just doesn't like people that smoke pipes or something of that sort, who knows. And I think that there are times when certainly a woman can handle a certain patient better than a man. I think there are times when, yes, I would say there are times when a person should seriously consider having somebody else handle the case.
I would certainly agree. I think there's a great range of variation that falls within the category of normal, and I think one has to allow for that in the same way that there's a difference in preference for foods, for example. This doesn't cast an invidious comparison on one food as against another. It merely just says that at the time, under these circumstances, this is what I would rather have than something else.
Well, then, Dr. Rome, you would say here that there are then cases in which some patients and some doctors could never meet. Is that correct?
Yes.
I think some attention need be paid also to the past experiences of the physician and how they relate to the past experiences of patients. We know in psychiatry from some recent studies that psychiatrists who are from the upper socioeconomic classes find it very difficult to understand those who are somewhat less privileged from the financial and social point of view. So that a doctor, let us say, from Back Bay, Boston, wouldn't do particularly well in rural Kentucky as compared to somebody who knew the way people think in rural Kentucky.
And speak the language, you know, we're different down there.
Thank goodness.
Dr. Rome, if the doctor sees the patient socially in the same social circles, are there special problems that come about because of this?
This can be a very thorny problem and can be the source of many hurt feelings, both on the part of the doctor as well as on the part of the patient. The doctor-patient relationship puts the physician in the position of being privy to many kinds of things, many kinds of data, for example, that have potentially all kinds of social embarrassment insofar as the patient is concerned. There's the need to establish early on in such situations, and these occur, for example, in the community where I live, that what transpires in the doctor's consultation room is sacrosanct and remains behind closed doors, so that when you do encounter individuals in social situations, you deal with them socially. You have obviously more difficulty when you have contact with them than in larger cities, perhaps, where you do not have this kind of social contact, but I don't think it's an insuperable problem.
Dr. Farnsworth?
If it were an insuperable problem, I wouldn't have a job. I work in educational institutions. All my patients are my friends. I am associated with them every day. I don't see any disadvantage to having two sets of relationships with given individuals. It does mean that I have to keep my mouth shut. It does mean that I cannot talk about certain things. I shouldn't anyway. It also means that when I am in a social situation with a patient, I ignore the whole fact, and so does he. We have two separate compartments. I find no problem at all with this.
I think that there's perhaps just as much danger, however, for physicians as we are, to be callous at a cocktail party and say things to illustrate or make a point or be the life of the party, and inadvertently say something which somebody else ties on to some individual who they happen to know. I think the social life of the doctor is something he has to watch.
Incidentally, we have a psychiatrist back home who's quite good at handling this problem. When someone at a party asks him some question, he always says, "Strip to the waist." And this usually stops the social intercourse at that time. Dr. Farnsworth?
I think of the doctor who asked the lawyer at a dinner party, "Shouldn't I send a bill to people who ask me professional questions at dinner parties?" And the lawyer said, "Certainly." The next day, the doctor got a bill for $100 for legal services.
The practicing physician sooner or later runs into difficulties in treating patients with emotional problems, the neuroses and perhaps even some of the psychoses. Do you feel that a general practitioner or a practicing physician can benefit by taking courses in psychiatry? Dr. Farnsworth?
So much of psychiatry belongs in general medicine, possibly half, maybe three-fourths. We cannot hope ever to have enough psychiatrists to take care of all psychiatric problems. If we could have the kind of understanding and insight on the part of all physicians as to the emotional components of illness, there wouldn't be the need for as many psychiatrists as there are. But didactic lectures, although they may be somewhat helpful or they may be preludes to learning, are not the answer. It has to be something in which there is real experience and participation and sharing of quandaries. In short courses in which the practitioners are talking about their own patients, their own problems, with a person present who has experience in psychiatry, to help draw out from them their interpretations of what is going on. The purpose of these courses is not to make amateur psychiatrists out of other practitioners of medicine, but to help them be better practitioners in whatever area of interest they happen to be.
Thank you, Dr. Farnsworth.
And thank you, Drs. Blaine, Farnsworth, Rome, and Witten, for a stimulating and worthwhile psychiatric consultation. Your next Roche record will present a psychiatric consultation on an emotional problem often seen in medical practice. Watch for it in your mail.